Merry Christmas. What a beautiful morning it is, and what a joy it is to be able to celebrate. I'm selfishly very glad that Christmas Day fell on a Sunday this year, so that we can have this time together this morning to celebrate the newborn King, the one who came ultimately to die for your sins, for my sins, to rise again, and to give us that hope, that promise that we know is guaranteed, that he will come again for us. And so it's very fitting, it's very wonderful that we get to gather here on this Christmas morning this year and to celebrate the newborn King. Born is the King of Israel. The first Noel there was just being played. So we want to welcome you to our service this morning. Thanks for being here. Special welcome to our visitors. Feel free to sign the guest book in the back, or you can fill out a blue card also if you'd like. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better as well. You can see that we have a few announcements. I don't know if there are cookies, but it looks like they're being set out as we speak. So there will be a few cookies and some coffee after the service if you feel so led to stick around. If you don't have any immediate plans after the service and want to be praying for blessed times here today, I know many of you will be sharing these times with family, and we're just grateful for this holiday season. So you can see again that we have a few just announcements. It's a pretty slow week around here. There really aren't any activities going on, and then just remember, for those who need to get a newsletter, anything in for that, that deadline is still this week on Thursday. And then next Sunday, we are still having church at 10 a.m. on New Year's morning there as well. And so that'll be a wonderful opportunity to worship there too. A few other announcements. I'll just let you read through those on your own about some upcoming things and so forth. I think that's probably about all the announcements I have for today. Are there any others that need to be made that I forgot? And if not, then let me read for you our call to worship here, the song of the angels from Luke chapter 2. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let's stand and sing together our opening hymn. It's our traditional opening hymn. I think it's very appropriate on Christmas Day to sing about the holiness of God. So let's sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Seated.
Amen.
The angel's announcement to the shepherds: Christ has been born. Maybe not in so many words, but unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that's the announcement that we want to start out with tonight, or this morning. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Let's sing together.
Number 20 in the Ambassador Hymnal.
Thank you.
Well, the angels announced that the newborn king was indeed born, and that gives us opportunity then to invite each other to rejoice in that news and in that reality. So now we sing Good Christian's Friend Rejoice, number 34 in your hymnal.
Good Christian friends rejoice.
Rejoice in his salvation. We give God glory because of what he has done for us. Because it was none of our doing, we could not save ourselves, but Jesus came and accomplished the work in order that we could be saved. And so with the angels who announced that birth, we want to sing glory, Gloria in excelsis Deo, means glory to God in the highest. Let's join together. Angels We Have Heard on High, number 22 in your hymnal.
Stay on.
Good morning again. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Isaiah and the book of Luke. We'll start with the Old Testament reading, Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. I think that's right. Yep. Please stand as you're able in respect for God's word. Reading in the Lord's name. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And the second reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to confess our faith this morning. We're going to use a different creed, though. This is just a portion of what we call the Athanasian Creed, which is a little-known creed, but it's one that we subscribe to, that we believe. And this is the part that deals specifically with Jesus and his coming and what that coming means for us. And as I'm talking, I can't remember if I don't think I told the guy who writes our PowerPoint slides if he got the switch in there or not. And so I'm not sure if the right one is in there. Is that true or not? It is, all right. So you can look up there or you can see it in the bulletin. Let's confess this together, saying this is what we believe specifically about Jesus who has come to this earth. It is also necessary for eternal salvation that one faithfully believe that our Lord Jesus Christ became man. For this is the right faith, that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at once God and man. He is God, begotten before the ages of the substance of the Father, and he is man, born of the world of the substance of his mother, perfect God and perfect man, with reasonable soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his Godhead, and inferior to the Father with respect to his manhood. For just as the reasonable soul and the flesh are one man, so God and man are one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father, from where he will come to judge the living and the dead. And amen. You may be seated. Wonderful truths there that we joyfully confess and believe here this morning. I'm going to call on the ushers at this time to wait upon us. I pray that you would help us to use them faithfully as good stewards according to your kingdom's work, God. I pray that these gifts would be used, again, for your kingdom and for the growth of it, for the furtherance of the gospel message all across the world. This morning, the world rejoices. We rejoice with the greatest gift of all, the coming of the Savior, who would be born, who would live, and who would die, who would rise again, who promises to come again. And so we are so thankful. We rejoice. We praise your name today for all that you have done. In your name I pray, amen. We do have a children's message, so I'll ask the kiddos that are here to come on up at this time. Come on up here. Let's see. We're going to have some fun today. Every day is fun, right? Thanks for coming up. Good to see you guys. Merry Christmas. Did you guys get any gifts for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were they fun? Yeah. Have any of you not opened any presents yet? Or are all your presents open? Not yet. Okay, so you might still have a few presents to open. All right, one more coming up. I want to talk to you guys today about promises. Do you guys know what a promise is? Yeah, it's when someone tells you that they're going to do something later on in the future, right? Have you guys ever had a promise made to you? Have mom and dad ever said, I promise to do something? That's kind of what a gift is. It's a promise. It's like, we're going to give you this gift, right? That's kind of like a promise. Or sometimes you make promises, like I say, I'll promise I'll clean my room, and then you don't. Yeah. Do we ever break promises? Sometimes that happens too, doesn't it? Yeah, where we try to do the best we can to keep our promise, but then we fail. We don't keep it. And that's not very good. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to make a promise to you. All right? So I'm going to get out my phone here, and I'm going to start a stopwatch. Okay? Because the thing is, when people make a promise, it means you have to wait for it. Right? Okay? You have to wait for it when someone makes a promise. So I'm going to promise you that when this timer goes off, I'm going to give you a little gift. How does that sound? Good. Okay, you won't fight me on that, so that's good. Okay, so I'm going to start it right here, and we're going to get the countdown going. When that goes off, then I'll give you a gift. Now, when we're waiting for something, how do we feel? How do you feel when you're waiting for something like this? Are you excited? Yeah, okay. You're waiting for a gift, and you're excited. Did you know that there was a man in the Bible named Simeon? And he was waiting because God made a promise that the Messiah, the Savior, would come someday. And Simeon was waiting for God to keep his promise. And he was waiting and he was waiting. But God had also gave Simeon another promise. He told Simeon, you won't die until you see the Messiah, until you see Jesus. So he was so excited to see Jesus, but then he was so excited his whole life. And he was getting old and he was maybe starting to wonder, is God going to keep his promise? Do you think that God keeps his promises? He does. Yeah, and what happened? Simeon was an old man, and did God send the Savior? Did God send the Messiah? What do you think? Yeah. Who's the Messiah? Who's the Savior? Starts with a J, ends with an Jesus. Jesus, right? Yeah. Okay, that's what Christmas is, right? We celebrate that Jesus came. God promised that Jesus would come, and Jesus came. God kept his promise. Now, did you know that God made another promise? He said he would come again. Do you think that that God is going to keep that promise too? Are you sure? How do you know? How do you know God's going to keep his promise? What's this? It might be a few minutes. That would be fun, wouldn't it? What is this right here? The Bible. And the Bible says, the Bible is God's word. The Bible says Jesus is going to come again. And that makes us excited because he already promised it once and he already did it. So now he's going to do it again. And you think he's going to come true. Oh, what was that for again? The buzzer went off. What was that for again? Oh, gifts, that's right. Okay, so always remember, okay, we praise God, we thank him, we're so happy today because God kept his promise and he sent Jesus, and God promised to send Jesus again, and he's going to. And so I have some stickers for you. You can come up and you can pick a sticker, and I'll give it to you if you want one. If you don't want one, that's okay too. And then you can, let's see here, then you can actually, what we could do, since I think there's not too many families up here, I could give each family a whole page of stickers, and then you could share it together. That'd be a good exercise on Christmas, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Okay. So you guys can come up and each take a page, and then each family, okay, Eden, we'll let you take that one for you and Anika, and you guys can share it. There you go. You can share it with your family. You can share it, okay, with your family. Do you think Ella wants some? Yeah. Okay, so we'll give this to Ella, and you can share it then with whoever you want to. All right, thanks for coming up. Before the message, then, we have a special music number, so I'll call on Megan Olson at this time.
Blossoms flowered mid the snows upon a winter night was born the child. The King of love and light. The angels sang, the shepherds sang, the grateful earth rejoiced. And at his blessed birth the stars their exultation voiced. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us with rapture glows to greet the holy night that gave the world its Christmas rose, its King of love and light. Let every voice acclaim his name, the grateful chorus swell. From paradise to earth he came, that we with him might dwell. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, oh, come, oh, come, let us adore him. Let us the Lord.
Amen. Thank you very much for that, Megan and Joanna. We are in the book of Titus this morning. And we're going to look at these verses here. It's chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14. And I would ask as I please read these verses, if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. Titus chapter 2, reading verses 11 through 14 this morning in Jesus' precious name. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Father, these are your words. I pray that you would set them apart in our hearts this Christmas morning as truth. Your word is true, God. Your promises are true. We thank you. We praise you. We rejoice this morning in the fulfillment of your promise that you promised to send a Savior, and he came. We thank you for that, Lord. And I pray now that as we study these words of yours, I pray that you would help us to hear them and to receive them in faith. Strengthen us, comfort us, encourage us, refresh us. This morning we ask in your name, amen. You may be seated. Days matter. Holidays matter. They mark significant events. I think of July 4th, and our way of life in America is what it is, in part because of what happened on that day in 1776, and that's why we celebrate it every year. Maybe I'm thinking of July 4th because it's winter also, and I'm longing for those summer days. Each of you has a date of birth that you celebrate each year. Your age, your life is defined in many ways by that date. It's a pretty big deal. Wedding anniversaries mark a day in your life that was a pretty significant event and time and day in your life. It's made a big difference in who you are, those of you who are married. That's why people tend to get upset when those days are forgotten, right? And not necessarily to pick on men, but usually it's the men who forget that day, right? I remember hearing a story once where a husband forgot his anniversary, and his wife, in her anger, said there better be something in the driveway tomorrow that goes 0 to 100 in 4 seconds, referring to a car, a new car. That was her price for forgiveness, I guess. Well, the next day, the wife walked out to the driveway and found a bathroom scale sitting in the driveway, okay? Something that goes 0 to 100 in 4 seconds. Probably not the appropriate apology gift. Something like a wedding anniversary is a big deal. It means something. And it's a big deal because it marks a day that greatly affected your life. Holidays like Christmas and Easter, they're easy to remember for a lot of reasons. But this morning, we rejoice, we celebrate Jesus coming to earth, Christmas. And what the coming of Jesus meant and what it means today to you and to me. And it's the most important reason we could ever have to celebrate any day. What the coming of Jesus means, the effect that Christmas has, the way that it has impacted the world and our own lives, is that it's the time when the grace of God appeared. Paul writes here to Titus. It's the time when the grace of God appeared. Now, certainly, God's grace was present and active before Jesus came at Christmas. God is a God of grace. It's who he is. It's who he's always been. What this verse is saying is that Jesus is the manifestation of his grace, the physical appearance. His grace was made visible in Jesus. And this is an important characteristic of grace that I really think gets lost in translation a lot at best, or blatantly and defiantly ignored at worst and rejected. Grace gets compared to and equated a lot with love. People see them as similar things, and in many ways they are, but then love is something that isn't always understood. And a big reason for that is that there are so many definitions and feelings about love, many of them, frankly, not at all remotely close to how the Bible describes and defines God's love. And so people get these wrong understandings of God's love, and they think that that's what God's grace is, and the difference is that they're really missing the appearing, the manifesting part of grace. And hang with me on this if that sounds vague. A common definition of love is license, or freedom to be or to do whatever or to be whoever you want. So loving someone, people think, means fully supporting that person and their beliefs, their actions, their behaviors, so forth. And to believe and to live in a way that is contrary to another individual is seen as unloving or ungracious. Christians are quick to rebut that by saying, no, 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 we love the person, we love the sinner, we hate the sin. And a statement like that is cliche, and it's not necessarily wrong, but it doesn't fully address or answer the problem that is being brought up, because oftentimes that sin that we hate is how that person defines themselves. And so to say that we hate the sin in their ears, they're just hearing us say that we hate them, which certainly isn't the case. But that's why it's so important for us to be able to understand and identify where the rub comes. And most often it comes in how we define love and how we define grace and truth. So, for example, love is not this utopian attitude of complete freedom to behave and believe whatever you want with no regard for anything or anyone else. That's not love. True love is very selfless by nature, and sometimes selflessness is painful. It's costly. Sometimes love includes discipline, for example. I don't have children, but those who do can attest to that, that your discipline towards your children is loving when they are misbehaving or doing dangerous things because you care about them and their well-being, their safety. Similarly, grace, by its very definition, involves a cost being paid. We say that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the acronym. Love, peace, joy, comfort, God's riches, they're not ours just because we say they are or just because we want them to be. They are free to us, but they still came at a cost, at Christ's expense. And people forget that. They ignore it. They reject it because they don't want to deal with the reality that somebody, namely Jesus, the Messiah, had to pay a cost for them to find love, to have grace and peace and joy and all those things. Love, the love that you receive, the love that you have, the love that you give to others, someone paid for it. Not to add strings to it, but we need to see that this grace, this love of God, is of certain worth and value. Of such worth and value, in fact, that it cost the life of Jesus. He had to come to set aside his godhood and to be made a man and to sacrifice his perfect and innocent life for you. And that value, that cost, changes how we understand the world that we live in then. We can't look at this life the same way. The grace of God appearing is God coming down to pay that price. That's why this is such an important characteristic of grace, that it was manifested, that it was made visible, because it tells us that God had to come down to pay a price. Grace, by its very nature, comes at a cost, and the physical appearance of Jesus demonstrates that to be true. He came to pay a price, and what understanding that does for us then, okay? We don't use that to withhold love and grace, but rather we use it to more fairly and accurately share that love and grace. Our desire is to show love and grace to others. We don't do that by shrugging our shoulders and embracing sin. We show love and grace by showing people Jesus, the manifestation of grace. If you want to see grace, look at Jesus. Look at his birth. Look at his life, look at his death, look at his resurrection. That's grace, that's love. And it begs the question, then, where does this cost come from? Why is it there? Why is there a cost that had to be paid? What have people done? What have we done to rack up some bill that needs to be paid? Friends, that's what sin is. It's falling short. It's missing the mark. The mark being perfection, because that's God's holiness, and it's what his holiness requires, and we fall short of that in thought, word, and deed. And there's nothing you can do to earn enough to make up that difference, to pay that price. But you see, that's what makes Christmas such a big deal. The Son of God coming down, manifesting himself in the form of a baby, the perfect picture of God's love and grace. Because it's the Son of God, we confessed it earlier, it's the Son of God setting aside his godhood and becoming a measly human in order to pay our debt for us. And pay it he did. When he appeared, it says here that he brought salvation for all. He came to save us, and we needed saving because of the debt that we owed that we couldn't pay. And we're not talking about consequences like collection agencies or bad credit ratings or foreclosure. We're talking here a debt that causes eternal separation from God in hell. So Christmas is Jesus appearing to pay our debt so that we are good with God. Through his appearing, he saved us. Is that a significant event? Through his appearing, he saved us. It's far more valuable than, for example, the freedom that we do enjoy on the 4th of July that we celebrate. Our birthdays don't mean a whole lot compared to the birthday that we celebrate today, when the birthday we celebrate today is of the one who came to save us, to give you heaven. What a gift. It gets better. There are those, for example, who see God as very impersonal. Maybe he loves us. Maybe he even loves us enough to make a way for us to go to heaven, but he's not really personally invested in our day-to-day lives. He doesn't really care. To think that, again, is to miss the very personal nature of the appearing of his grace. When his grace appeared, when Jesus came, he made this very personal. This wasn't God just up in the sky figuring things out or doing things on his own. He was here coming to get into this world, to be in your life. This is very personal, and it shows us that we have a God who is a very personal God. The Son of God didn't go through all the pain and suffering of being a human and dying a human death and bearing the burden of all of our sins if there wasn't a deep and personal interest and love and care. When God's grace appeared, when Jesus came in doing what he did, he demonstrated that he cares deeply. God is not indifferent. His love, his grace, it's not indifferent. It's very personal. It means something, and because it's so personal, it changes us. Look at our text here. So the grace of God appeared, it says, brought salvation, but then secondly, God's grace appearing trains us, it says, to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. God's grace appearing, Jesus coming, changes our lives. I read one pastor this week who wrote, "It is impossible to meet the real Jesus and leave indifferent." It's impossible to meet the real Jesus, to see the grace of God manifested, and to leave indifferent. If God kept his distance, okay, it's a lot easier to be indifferent, to not really care. But he didn't stay away. Christmas tells us that Jesus came, and his coming tells us that he cares. In fact, he cares so much. His love, his grace is of such nature that it has to be considered. It can't be ignored. Now, some don't like that. Some prefer that God keep his distance, and it's ultimately because there are parts of our life that we don't want changing, right? I think that's fair. It's our tendency to see at least a part of our life that's ungodly and worldly that we don't want to renounce. Living self-controlled, upright, godly would change that part of our life, and we don't want that. C.S. Lewis has a clever way of describing this. He says, "When I was a child, I often had a toothache. And I knew that if I," maybe you can relate to this. "I had a toothache. I knew if I went to my mother, she would give me something which would deaden the pain for that night and let me go to sleep. But I did not go to my mother, at least not until the pain became very bad. And the reason I did not go to her was this. I did not doubt that she would give me the aspirin, but I knew she would also do something else. I knew she would take me to the dentist the next morning. I could not get what I wanted out of her without getting something more, which I did not want. I wanted immediate relief from my pain, but I could not get it without having my teeth set permanently right. And I knew those dentists," he writes, "I knew they would start fiddling about with all sorts of other teeth which had not yet begun to ache." When God comes to us, it's close. It's intimate. Christmas is a beautiful picture of the intimacy of God. The God of the universe becoming a wiggly baby to get close to you. And when he gets close to you, he changes you. And I want you to know today, that's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. If there are toothaches in your life, our nature is to put off dealing with them for as long as possible, but I tell you, they only get worse. God comes and he sets you right. That's part of God coming. He cleans you up from that ungodliness and those worldly passions, and he helps you to live self-controlled, upright, godly. It's a new life that you have because he appeared, because he came. So he appeared, he came, he was born to save us, number one, to change our lives, number two, and then lastly, to give us hope. You see, this is one of those distinguishing characteristics that comes through Christ alone. It's one of those things that are ours because of the price he paid. We can talk about God's grace, but if we see it as something other than how God's word describes it, if we turn his love and grace into license, if we keep him, for example, at arm's length, then the best hope that we have is whatever we can muster on our own. And we disappoint ourselves all the time. That's reality. But there is a hope that is found in Christ, a hope found in the manger that does not disappoint. God's kept promise. It's a hope in his appearing. We've been singing for the last 4 weeks on Sunday mornings in Advent, O come, Emmanuel. And you listen to those words. Come, Lord Jesus. It's a prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Pay our ransom. That's what we're talking about. Pay that debt. Deliver us from lonely exile. We talked about that last night if you were here. Free us from Satan's tyranny. Save us from the depths of hell. Give us victory over the grave. Disperse the gloomy clouds of darkness, even death's shadows and fears. Put them to flight. Make safe the way that leads to heaven. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel comes. Christmas is here. The Savior came. And just as he said he would. And so we have a hope here. And that hope is found. It remains in Christ. We look to him. The grace of God has appeared. When Jesus appeared, when he came, he gave us hope. You want to see what grace looks like? Look to Jesus. What is love? What does that look like? Look to Jesus. And not just part of Jesus, but all of him. All that he said and did. The part that suffered and died. The part that tells us that we have a debt that needs to be paid, but it tells us that he paid it because of his love. The part that told us about the adoption that we have into his family through him, that he is our brother, and that that adoption means new life. That in Christ we find resurrection. We're changed. We see things differently now. And the part that says that he's coming back, that he's going to appear again to take us to live with him forever. Hope in his appearing. He saves us, he trains us. He gives us hope all through his appearing. That's cause for celebration. Celebrate today, okay? No matter where you're going or who you're with, celebrate today. Celebrate his coming. Celebrate his appearing, that he showed up. And because he showed up, and because he did what he did, we have forgiveness, we have grace, love, salvation, peace, on and on down the list, and we have hope that he'll come again, just as he said he would. He is a God who fulfills promises. God bless your gatherings today, whatever you're doing. Thank the Lord today that he was born. That he was born to save, that he was born to give new life, born to give hope, hope in an eternal life with him someday. This day changes things. It changes our whole life. Indeed, it's a happy birthday celebration. Amen. Let's close and let's sing of this rejoicing. Rejoice, rejoice, this happy morn. It's number 43 in your hymnals. Lord, our soul praises your name today for saving us. Because you were born, because you came to this earth, God, we have salvation, we have forgiveness, we have hope of life with you someday. A place where we will live forever in perfect bliss and harmony. Praising your name. Lord, I pray that you would bring that day quickly as we celebrate this day, your first coming. God, we anxiously, joyfully, excitedly await when you will come again. Thank you so much that you are a God who keeps your promises. You are a God who saves. You are a God who forgives, who pays our debt, who redeems us. We praise you, we thank you, we love you today for that. Lord, I pray for each family here today. I pray that you would bless them and their holiday times together and with family. Lord, I pray for safe travels for all those who may be out of town or planning to leave town. Lord, I pray that you would keep everyone safe, that you would bless all of the times spent here with family and friends today and in this holiday season. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us, and we just pray that you would continue to bless this congregation. Lord, I pray that we would be a congregation that faithfully serves you, looks to you. I pray, God, that you would use us however you see fit as a congregation, as families, as individuals, to point people to you and to your appearing, that we would see you for who you are, for all that you have done and continue to do for us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive God's benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you this Christmas his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.